So we have been going through this sermon series on Jesus, the life of Christ. We've been studying his words. We've been studying how he taught. We've been studying his life. And we are going to get to a set of scriptures that when I sat down this week, as I started reading the scriptures, as I started studying the scriptures, sometimes pastors, we like to have these points, and we like to have a topic to go with it. We like to have something to tie in. And when it comes to the Transfiguration, I was just like, I want to talk about it. I want you all to understand what happened. Because when you read these words, if you ever read it, if you've ever had the coloring page, which is just a big white spot because it was so bright and beautiful. If you don't understand that, we'll get into that. The events that happen here are just Jesus and his glory. What is happening here is something that we read, and at first we kind of have to step back and go, okay, what did I just read? Maybe you read it in Matthew. Maybe you read it in Luke. Maybe you read it in Mark. Maybe you saw the different references where it talks about what happened, and we need to wrap our head around it. Now, if we sit here and we read it and we try to figure it out, what about the guys that were there? What about Peter? What about John? What about James? What were they thinking when they saw this? What was going through their head when they saw this? So we're going to study this today, and I'm just going to read it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to point things out. We're going to go from there, and I don't know, maybe I'll just tie it up at the end. I don't know. But I want you to see how great Jesus is through this. You know, I've talked about, almost to myself, being a broken record in this sermon series, talking about how great God is. And I actually had my brother-in-law point out that it's okay if it's a broken record if the song is good. And I'd much rather be a broken record repeating the truths of the scripture than a broken clock that's only right twice a day. So as we read these words, as we understand these words, I'm going to ask you all to do this. And that's focus. Focus on how great God is. Focus on what the scriptures are saying, because I've been kind of on this kick about talking about how Jesus is God. I've given you all booklets, a short little booklet. How many of you all read the booklet? Got a couple of hands. It's only 49 pages. You're good. I've given you this. I've given you information. I've been talking about it. And now we are going to see one more example of how Jesus is God. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to Luke 9. I've decided to read out of Luke. I actually did think about reading each account of this, but then I just picked Luke because, well, I just decided Luke was good enough to read out of. I kind of like reading out of Luke because of just the investigating style that he did. You know, Luke, as he wrote this, he went and he did interviews and he talked with people, and what he was doing with these letters was he was sending them out. So he wanted to make sure that every bit of information that he had was right, and he got multiple sources and multiple people that saw these things so he could write out the best experience he could so that someone else could come to know the Lord. And he writes this in verse 20. In verse 28, it says, after 8 days after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him. It was Moses and Elijah. And they appeared in glory and were speaking to him about his departure, which was about to become accomplished in Jerusalem. And Peter and those who were with him were in a deep sleep, and they became fully awake. And they saw the glory of the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good for us to be here? to be here. Let us set up three shelters or three tents or three tabernacles, to one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, but not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud appeared around and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud, and the voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." After this voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent of these things at the time, and they told no one what they had saw. So I want to start out, first of all, just looking at that first verse here. It says, after 8 days, after this, the conversation that they had, I want to talk about that. So you have to immediately look at the conversation above. And that was the classic message that he said about taking up your cross, where you have to take up your cross daily. You have to follow Jesus. But he also says something in verse 27 that is key to, I think, understanding why he was pointing to these words. And it says, truly, verse 27, truly I tell you that there are some standing here that will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand something. People twist this set of scriptures. This is one of those twisted scriptures that people will point to and say, truly, they're saying that people won't taste death, that these people here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God, the glory of God. And some people who have a large base out of Utah believe that John is not dead. They will actually say that John is roaming around, because we don't have a historical record. We don't have a biblical account or a historical account of John's death. So he's just out walking around waiting for God, because as it said, some will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. But the transfiguration here, it testifies to them seeing God in his glory, seeing the truth of the kingdom of God. See, I get a lot of questions. What's heaven going to be like? What is it going to be? We have all these pictures. We have all this stuff. We have movies. We have TV shows. We have all this stuff that tells us what they think heaven is going to be like. But I believe truly that we do not have an inch of knowledge of how great it's actually going to be. We have what is talked about in the scriptures, but it's going to truly blow our minds. And for Peter and for James and for John, they got to see a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is going to be like. As I was reading my Vernon J. McGee commentary on Luke, it actually says you always get those. You know, you have good questions, and we always say there's never any bad questions, but then always people want to ask, will there be clothes in heaven? And Vernon J. McGee says, well, this verse says that there was his clothes were sparkling, so we're going to have sparkly clothes in heaven. As I was reading it, my commentary actually fell apart. Anyway, I won't get on to that rabbit trail. But we have two spots within these scriptures where Peter and where John testifies to this glory that they saw, to testify of just a little bit of seeing the kingdom of God. And in Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 16 and 18, it says this. It says, for we do not follow these myths, these clever myths. What was made known to us of the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are eyewitness to this glory, this majesty, this great thing, this majestic thing that God is. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him in this great glory, this beautiful glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. See, Peter, he testifies to the glory of God, this kingdom that he saw. And why I think where it says truly, there are some standing here that will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. They saw the kingdom of God in this glorious appearance. Now what Jesus did here, what he did was he showed and the testimony that was given to these three men. Because again, you got to remember, if you wanted something to be factually true in this time, you needed witnesses. You needed witnesses to testify to this. When two or three people were standing there, they could testify to the truth. So you had Peter, you had John, and you had James who testified to these things, and even them testifying it again in 2 Peter and also in John 1:14, testified to the glory of God that they saw on this mountain. And this testified that God is true glory. That as his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white, they shined, they shone so bright that it was beautiful. Every time we have a person, an angel, I don't want to say person, an angel or something that has came from heaven, it is described in this beauty and fear. A lot of fear sometimes because people were not used to seeing this. You know, you think about things that are the brightest you've ever seen. You get a spotlight maybe shining in your face or something like that. It's still not compared to what God has been shown here. But not only that, we see Moses, we see Elijah who represents both the law and the prophets. Which again, these two things testify to Jesus. Every scripture that we've talked about in the Bible, every scripture that you've read in the Bible talks about Jesus. And as during this time you had people wanting to always point back to the law, which they still do today. They want to point back to the prophets. Well, both the law written by Moses and probably one of the greatest prophets there was points to Jesus. They go and have a conversation to Jesus, with Jesus. They want to sit there and they want to talk to him. And what they did here is they brought the old covenant and the new covenant and they mashed it together in Jesus. Because what did he say when he sat down with his disciples that final time? He took the bread and he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. What I am going to do on the cross is going to blow everything else out of the water. Everything that took place in the past, with all the sacrifice, with all the laws that you had to follow, they're going to get blown out of the water because I'm going to do this one act for you. I'm going to do this one thing that is going to show you the glory of God." The old and new covenant come together in Jesus Christ. And then they have this conversation. Now, Luke, they talk about what is going to take place in this death, resurrection, and the ascension that Jesus is going to do. Now, we have in Luke just a glimpse of what they talked about. But man, you know, when you get to heaven, we always have these things that we would like to see. You know, questions we would like to know. One of those questions I have, or one of the things I would like to do, is just sit there at the Sermon on the Mount. Out of all the preachers I would love to hear from the history, I think Jesus is probably the one I would really want to sit under. Give me the opportunity to sit there and listen to this Sermon on the Mount. But also give me the opportunity just to hear what they were talking about. Hear what this conversation was. Now we see here, we have his closest followers once again falling asleep. That's why it's never a good idea to pray when you're tired. Don't pray in bed, laying on your back, because you'll wake up a few minutes later going, "What was I saying?" If you have to get on your knees, get uncomfortable to pray so you can focus on your prayer. I see a lot of people praying on their knees, and when I get down on my knees to pray, I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to have a hard time getting up." But I can focus on prayer. But they were talking about what was going to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And when it says those words, when it's going to be accomplished in Jerusalem, what was going to be accomplished? Jesus was going to bring salvation to the world that has never been seen before. And knowing that Jesus would take the past, present, and future sins on the cross, I'm sure both Moses and Elijah both said, "First of all, I want to say thank you for dying for me." But this testimony that was going to take place, this testimony of what Jesus was going to do, what he was going to accomplish, and I love that word, accomplished, on the cross. How his death, how that blood shed was going to cover us and cleanse us. How the resurrection, how he beat death, how he overcame it and conquered it, giving us an opportunity to see what God was going to do in us. And to see him ascend just as he will one day again descend to take us home. A lot of things talked about as Peter and John and James stood in amazement. As they got woke up, and it says they were fully awake. You ever have one of those times? It's usually when we kind of start to wake up and then we look at the alarm clock and realize the alarm clock didn't go off. And then you're up. It's probably the best coffee in the world, realizing you're late for work or for school. You realize you've never been able to move that fast before. But as Peter, he says these words. He says, should we be here? Should we set up these tents for you? These tabernacles, these shelters for you? What he was probably referring to was the Feast of the Tabernacle. And the idea there is that people would set up these tabernacles and they would stay in them for a period of time, a week, to have a festival, to be with their family, to celebrate God. And what Peter is saying is, I don't want to leave this. I don't want to be away from this glory. I want to spend so much time right now basking in this, looking upon this, looking at how great and wonderful this is. I never want to leave this, is what Peter said. Now, we all have those times where we sit there and we understand there's just sometimes we don't want to leave. Probably a good illustration would be is your vacation. You never want to leave your vacation. You just want to keep going. Don't go back because I'm having too much fun. But have we ever sit there and said, God, I don't want to leave your glory. I don't want to get away from this moment in my life because you are so good to me. You are blessing me so much. I never want to leave this moment with you, God. I can understand why Peter said this. Let me set up a tabernacle so I can be here, so I can celebrate this festival. If you give me just another 7 days, I'll be great. Well, his time would come as he is in glory with God for all eternity. As we understand, we want those times, but again, we think of it as a give me just a momentary time. What Peter is celebrating now, what James is celebrating now, what John is celebrating now is an eternal, glorious time with God. And again, I bet it blew their mind away when they got to go be with God for all eternity, which will be for us as well. As we have those momentary times, as we sit there and we think, it can't get any better than this, or I don't want to leave this fearing that I will never feel this way again, you will if you have Jesus Christ. You will be in this moment where Peter says, I never want to leave this glory. You will have that if you have Jesus in your life. Because one day we will stand in this glory. And our minds will be blown away. But then God does something even more awesome. He speaks in this cloud. And as it says, they were a little afraid as they entered the cloud. And then the voice came from the cloud. God's voice said, this is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. When we think about how great our God is, how he has given us proof after proof after proof, he gives us one more. See, so many people want to talk about, they want this physical thing to happen before they'll believe in Jesus, before they'll believe in God. They basically want that big neon sign to say, it's real. But when we actually sit down and we think about those times that God has touched us on the shoulder, as God has whispered in our hearts, I'm here. As we open our eyes in a busy city and we see his glory through a shade of trees, God is always speaking to us. As we open his word and as we study it and as we look and as we dig deep into it, he says, this is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. Now it says that after this voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent for a time. Because when Jesus would go do and accomplish what they had talked about, then they stood up and they testified to what is true. And they said, we know that he was God because he said it. As Thomas proclaim my Lord and my God. As Peter said, my Lord and my God. They pointed to his glory being shown as he accomplished what only God could. When I joke about being a broken record, it is always to say that Jesus is God. The Bible testifies to it. The law testified to it. The prophets testified to it. His apostles testified to it. And I will testify it as well. And by golly, you better testify it as well. Because we've had enough proof. We have had the word spoken to us. We have seen the examples, and we know it to be true. And that's the glory of God. I guess I'm not going to have a good way to wrap this up, but I just wanted to read this story. I just wanted to tell you this story. There's a bow on it. It's not very good. But Jesus is God. And if you believe that, testify to that. And if you don't, you better accept it. Because the only way you're going to have glory, to see this glory, is to believe that Jesus is God. And to live for Him and to obey Him. And you can do that today in His presence because He is with us. When Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," He meant it. And then the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will dwell within you. How great can that be? I mean, can it get any better? Our God is a God that loves us. And He's waiting for us to go home so He can say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Whatever is going on in your life, take comfort to know that our God is real, that He loves us, that He died for us, and that gift is for you. You didn't deserve it. You can't earn it. But you can take it and live forever. Let's pray. Father, as we close today, we are so thankful that You've given us this opportunity to study Jesus, to live according to His life, to just look upon His glory. And as we have heard the testimony of what He has done in Susan's life and what He continues to do in Susan's life and our lives, You are always growing us, God. You are always doing a work in us because You're not done with us. While we are still here, You are not done with us. So God, let us move. Let us go. Let us do. And Father, I do pray if there's anyone in here today, let them make this the day of their salvation. Don't let them wait. Don't let them sit there and think, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Let them call upon You and let them make You Savior and Lord today. Let that blood of Jesus, their Savior and Lord, cleanse them of their sins. And let them start living now a life that is pleasing to God. And Father, I pray if there's anyone in here that needs to take up this message, this testimony. Maybe they've been living for themselves, but calling upon Your name. Maybe they've been confused. Maybe they want to do more. Father, let them move today. Let them grow in their faith. Let them recommit. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to once again read these words, to study these words, and to preach these words. Knowing that Your message will never go void. Father, let us go forth and testify to what is true. Testify that Jesus is God. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Would you please stand as we close with hymn?
405.